He's a God of joy and peace, and he's also a serious God. I feel good. I'm just taking it easy right now. Y'all ready? 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Somebody say strongholds. Let me read that again so you'll get it. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I don't have a real fancy title for you today. I just want to give it to you like God gave it to me. Say it with me. Firepower. 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 The firepower. Church. Before you take your seats, ask your neighbor, do you have that power? You may take your seats. This series has been like the absolute pinnacle of my preaching. I told you last week that I was amazed and blown away at the revelation that God had been given me. See, it's one thing to get information, but there is no change until you get revelation. Information is what you read. Revelation is what comes in the spirit. God deals with you on such a level that he waits for you to mature to give you the same thing that he gave you before. In other words, God gives it to you again until you receive what he's trying to show you. You see, he told the disciples, he said, listen, it's going to be a mystery to them until they're filled. Right? You don't truly understand it until the Holy Spirit begins to live and you allow him to speak inside of you. Yeah, I feel it already. You know, you don't really understand the positioning and the turmoil and the headache and the hell and the responsibility that comes with you operating in the Spirit. You see, I've learned here. Thank you, Holy. I've learned that in the body of Christ, that we can come and we can do this all day. We can have so-called church. We can come inside the four walls. We can sit in nice seats. We can greet our neighbor with so-called love. We can call each other. We can embrace each other, right? We can show up at all kinds of services. We can jump around. We can leap for joy. But you truly don't get joy until the one inside you leap. You truly don't get it. I mean, he says leap for joy. The reason why he says leap for joy, because he's trying to get you to announce, to wake up, to say hello to the Holy Spirit. You see, when God begins to work inside of you, right, you will leap for joy when you don't feel like leaping. Okay, let me help you out. When God begins to work through you, baby, you will embrace your call folks that you don't like. You will love on people that don't love you. You will sow into the lives of folks that don't sow into you. Let's talk to me. You will give them all of the things, all of everything that you have because you don't own it. That's the Holy Ghost. But when God is not working in your life, you don't have the revelation and you operate out of flesh. I just want to talk to you today for a little bit. That fire is just amazing. In other words, once you begin to allow him to do what he's trying to do in you, everything that you used to do is old. I'm trying to tell you something. The way you used to do church becomes old. The way you used to preach is old. The way you used to talk is old. The way you used to pray and put a timeline on it is old. old. The way that you used to come into the house is old. You used to come in with your head hung down. You used to come in upset. But baby, you can't wait to get to the parking lot when he begins to work inside of you. It said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Listen, if don't none of y'all show up on Sunday, I'm still gonna be in here praising God all by myself. Because it's been that good. I said, McKenna, he's been that good. If I want somebody to go with me to the gym, because I get so caught up while I'm working out, I want to know what the people are doing and saying around me. It's not that I'm worried about, I just want to see what they say. I mean, I'm in there with my headphones on and, you know, I'm in there working out, I'm throwing my hands up. And see, folks that's there with me know what I'm doing. But to the individuals that have no clue, because they're not living the life. What life, Pastor? The kingdom life. They don't have no joy. They don't have no peace. They don't have none of those things. So they do not know what's going on. Okay, now I'm going to preach, okay? Thank you. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Don't you know that your tongue is a tongue of fire? It's in both. It's in the spiritual and the physical. It is a tongue of fire. Without God, you crucify people, you condemn people. With God, you speak fire, you lift them up. I told them this morning at the 9 o'clock service, Freedom Hour, the title was The Truth Hurts. When you speak the fire of God, the truth, it hurts, but it burns out everything that should not be on the inside of you, right? And before you preach to somebody, God deals with you yourself. Listen, before I preach a message and you're convicted, baby, last night I was already convicted. I was already crying. I was already struggling. And then I say, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to share the gospel. The gospel is the good news. So when fire comes and remains, because I've learned that some people only want to catch fire on Sunday. And on Monday, they wouldn't use the old fire. That old fire would cuss you out. The old fire would leave you at the bus stop. The old fire would not clothe you, would not feed you, will let you stay hungry, let you stay thirsty, right? That's the old fire. But the new fire that's in you will give you a portion of what I have, will give you a room in my house. That's new fire. Oh, the church so far from that right there. I told you that we've submitted an eviction process and the Holy Spirit is no longer in this home. I'm going to preach to you in a minute. Right? The one that should be here, should be praised, should be lifted up, is no longer present in many of the churches today, because in the body of Christ, in some of the body of Christ, he's not the center. See, when you make him the center, he's the beginning, he's the center, and he's the end. So no matter where you are in life, the good, the bad, the ugly, you see, I've learned that church folks only want to be on top of the mountain all the time. But when you get that fire, you don't mind walking through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't know why I'm coming down already. Listen, when you operate in the fire of God, you be in the valley still jumping and leaping, singing. He's a way maker, miracle worker. Huh? You can leap wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you are geographically, because he's on the inside of you. Okay. I ain't want to come down yet. I've discovered that the pen is mightier than the sword. In other words, Pastor, what are you saying? The mouth is mightier than the pen. Nothing can move men as so can the tongue set on fire from heaven. How do I know? Because Peter would cuss you out and cut your ear off. But when you had this upper room experience, that cuss, that cut turned into firepower. And the Bible says that when he started the church and God had told him and Jesus told him to wait, baby, when the Holy Spirit fell upon him, it said men were coming from all over, man. They was coming. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all. All. But the body has to catch the fire. Something has to change on the inside of us. You know, when that something changes, your conversation changes. Instead of you responding, typing, hitting enter, you'll start to hit the delete button. Only need to respond to that. Delete. Yeah, I don't need to respond to that. Delete. I don't need to return that phone call. Don't even call them back. Listen, let me take my time. Peter was a Pentecostal preacher. I said, I'm not talking about a denomination. Peter was a Pentecostal preacher. Talking about no Pentecostal denomination, no Baptist, AME. I says, everybody get mad at me. Listen. I don't care what denomination you are. If you ain't operating with the firepower of God, that means your heart hasn't been set on fire. That tells me that you often operate in flesh if the Spirit of God is not inside of you. It's impossible for you to be liberated. You're in bondage. Now, I'm not coming down on the denomination. What I'm telling you is, it's not about the denomination. We want to make it about the denomination, the colors, the steeple on the church building, the color of the walls, the pews or seats. We want to make it about all the stuff that doesn't even matter. Listen, I've got 25 collars in my office. You think that makes me better than this vessel right here? Do you think because I've got 100 ties in my closet, it makes me better than the man sitting right here? No, it's about the heart. It's about the change. It's about the posture. Okay, y'all don't like that. Y'all don't like it. Listen. I'm going to go on and get it to you. Y'all, listen. The church will only advance with a tongue of fire. The church will only advance with a tongue of fire. That's what Peter said. How did Peter say that? Because Peter experienced it. His tongue was set on fire. You cannot just be on fire from 10:30 to 12 o'clock. If you're really set with the authentic fire of God, when you leave out of here and sit at the dinner table, fire will still be spewing out of your mouth. When you go up out of here and get on your phone, fire still be spewing out of your mouth. You've been making calls, talking business, and fire will spew out of your mouth. Listen, the Firepower Church. I want you to write this down. This is a teaching about the power. The will of God cannot be realized in the strength of the flesh. Oh, I don't know what that means, Pastor. I said the will of God cannot be realized in the strength of the flesh. In other words, your ministry can only be accomplished in the power of the Spirit. If you operate without the Spirit and you start ministry and people do, If you operate without the power of the Spirit and you so-called start a ministry, baby, let me tell you something. All you're going to do is be going through the routine. I don't care how many folks come to your church. I don't care how many people join. I don't care how many people are running up and down the walls, climbing up and down the poles. Let me tell you something. If the firepower of God is not, well, somebody say, well, Pastor, what makes all those folk come to the church? Listen, don't you know that if I put a billboard out there that says Beyond Measure Ministries and say Free Budweiser, that we're going to have folks all over the place? Y'all don't want to go with me, but you know it's true. You know why it's true? Because some of y'all will be running up here too. Pastor, you're going to have it on tap or you're going to have cans? Woo! Because I want to bring my own cup because I'm coming to the church. Okay, that was too much. I was too real. Listen. I want you to understand that you cannot accomplish ministry. Watch this. What's ministry, Pastor? You cannot accomplish the marriage union ministry without the Spirit of God. Ladies, you'll never be submissive without the Spirit of God living in you. Thank you, three ladies. Listen. Men, you can never lead the family right without the Spirit of God living inside of you. The next time, brothers, she don't want to be submissive. Now, you got to be in your rightful place. You go ask them, do you? Now, that's not the Spirit of God working through you. You got to make sure you're in the rightful place, though. You can't say that and you cussing them out at the same time. Talk to me. You can't say that, Chuck, and you headed to the club. Be here when I get back. You think she's going to be there when you get back? Absolutely not. Tell me, well, everybody from the church is going to be there. I bet they are. Listen, people in the church still clubbing. Watch this. People in the church still clubbing. What's wrong with that, Pastor? What's wrong with that, Pastor? Can you imagine walking in the club and all kinds of stuff going on? And you're talking about Jesus, 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 he's my joy. No, they're talking about you got to go to church in the morning. You need to get out of here. It don't mix. You can't do it. You cannot do it. Okay. Let me tell you something. Here we go. Watch this. I want to do ministry. What is God looking for? What is God looking for? Got to be tired of playing church. What is God looking for? If you're anything like me, I'm tired of going through motions, right? What is God? God, what are you looking for? What are you looking for, God? Because we've mastered this. A lot of us that come to church on Sunday, I'm going to tell you why we mastered it. Because we can put the mask on and never let you know that I'm going through something. I'm going to suck my tears up. I'm going to sit here straight. I'm going to act like everything's all together. That's not what God is looking for. Because it's not authentic. God is looking for life. God. Is looking, that is, for life. Amen. God is looking for life. God is looking for life. Pastor, what is life? I mean, I thought this was life. I thought this was the life. Get saved. See, get saved, sanctified. Filled, baptized with a burning fire. It has become so cliche that the devil can quote it. If you're at a ministry, I told you last week, and the devil can come sit on the front row and wear his Jesus freak jacket t-shirt and never feel uncomfortable, then the Holy Spirit cannot be in the house. Listen. I'm okay if the devil shows up. The problem is if he leaves the place and he's still the devil. He has to flee. He can't sit here and be comfortable. Folks get all deep and they do all. Listen. Devil sitting there tapping his foot. Come on. You ain't moving me. See my t-shirt? It's what I do. Right? I'm going to tell you something. I better go on. Y'all, somebody get mad. Some of y'all deep spiritual people getting real mad right now. I said, what is God looking for? God is looking for life. What is life? Life is something that gives God the accessibility for his spirit to be made manifest, which the power of God will be released and the devil, watch this, will be disturbed. The devil is not disturbed if you're not operating in the spirit of God. Got folks struggling and you struggle with casting out demons and you're afraid to cast out your headache. Watch this, Pastor. I got to talk to myself. Watch this, Pastor. Watch it. You see, the church has become so bankrupt of life that the devil doesn't have to work hard to get the body of Christ off kilter. Because in the body of Christ, we become bankrupt of life. And we think that just because we come here for 8 days a week, that we're going to be all right. What does scripture say in Romans? What does it say? What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Didn't you know that coming here 7 days a week is not going to save you? What church is preaching that? Yeah, listen. In the church, since we're saved, right? When we come together, forsake not the assembly of ourselves, when we come together, listen, if the roof is still intact, something's wrong. It said signs and wonders shall what? Follow them. How many of the lame still coming to here? 12 months, 24 months, all of life. God is looking for life. God is looking for the believer. Not the one that's on top of the mountain, but the one that can believe while they're walking in the darkness. Baby, you got to be the light. I'm sick of the church operating in such a secretive, some kind of code. You got to have it right, and you got to have the right things on, and you got to talk the right language, and you got to pray this amount of time, and you got to show up at this amount of time. Let me tell you something. I was talking to a woman of God. I said, how do you get delivered? She said, you stay down until he does something. I ain't gonna point out and give her credit. Hey, look, you just stay there. I said, you just stay there. See, you stay down there until God does a work inside of you. You know, it painted a vision in my head. It says, stay down and suffocate the old life. Ooh, woo! And when you get desperate enough, you'll come up for air. But when you come up, you'll be a new person, a new believer, a new woman, a new man. A new ministry, a new tongue, a new life. But you got to be willing to be desperate. God is looking for desperate people, not straight up and self-righteous people. He's looking for broken people. He wants to shine through you. He wants to gleam through you. He wants his glory. Somebody say glory. I got to tease. The bankrupt church. I'm not talking about finances. Because if I'm talking about finances, you can be bankrupt and start all over. There is no new spirit. There is no new way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. He is the life. He is the way. There is no new way. How do we recreate God, heaven, purpose? You can't. There is nothing new. The Bible says also that there's nothing new under the sun. Why are we still trying to recreate ministry? All we got to do is be obedient. And if we are obedient, it'll happen. Okay. Why? Here it is. I'll tell you why we're so bankrupt. This is how I know. Because Satan doesn't fear religion. He doesn't fear religion. That's why there's no change. There is no change in religion. That's only formality. Although Christianity is in the religious section, baby, that is the only part of the book that has life. You can study Buddha. You can study all these false gods. But let me tell you something. There is only one true God, and that is Jehovah Jireh. That is Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit. That is God the Father. I know the millennials don't like this type of preaching, but I've got to give it to you. He's not moved by religion. And because he's not moved by religion, it tells me that he's not moved by the arm of the flesh. We're trying to fight the enemy with our own guns. And you're shooting your gun, and he's saying, phew, phew, keep shooting. Watch this. We're trying to pray with no power. He's still walking. You remember that old movie, The Terminator? Arnold Schwarzenegger tried his best to take him down. He was still going. He was running, and he came up out that tire, and when that bullet came up, he kept on coming. You know why? Because he wasn't operating in the firepower. You got to know what takes the devil down, and it's not the arm of the flesh. I got to go. If Satan abides in darkness, and he's tormented by light and life, and he fears the firepower of the Holy Ghost, then why is he still present in your life? Make me flexing here. I feel good. Why is he still present? Where is he present at, Pastor? He's present in your marriage. He's present in your family. He's present in your finances. He's present on your job. He's present in your kids. He's present all the way around your kingdom business. You know why? Because you thought just because you prayed, you thought just because you was a son, a daughter, you thought just because you've been in church all your life that the devil is not going to mess with you. Right? You thought, watch this, that just because you dab some oil on your forehead in the morning that Satan wasn't going to mess with you. You thought just because you bathed in it with your soap that he wasn't going to mess with you. Let me tell you something. When you are doused and you're covered in the blood and you're covered in his anointing, you are Satan's primary target. You are exactly what he's after, because if he takes you out, then he knows that he can't take anybody else out. He's got to take out the driving force. Why me? Why me? Why me? Because you're covered, you're chosen, you're marked. He is yours. You are his. You are one. He's after you. When you've been chosen and you've been marked, it doesn't matter where you go. You can come to church on Sunday. He's waiting for you in the parking lot. You can show up on your job. He's sitting in your seat. He's after your mind. I'm almost finished. I'm coming. I'm done. I'm done. You've never seen Satan fight in religion. Everybody's talking about, oh, we good. We don't have any problems. Because you operate in religion. But when you set foot in your camp and you start calling out them imps, those demonic forces. Yeah, oh, he says, now you messing with my crew. When you start identifying these demons that he sent to destroy your life, now you disturb Satan. Now you put a bozo on your back. Now he wants to take you out. His conflict is with life. I said his conflict is with life. The body that doesn't have life, he's not concerned with, because life only comes through one source. Life only comes through one source. My question in my third closing, and I'm going to sit down, I promise you. Why would the church substitute resources? Elder Rowe, why would we substitute the supernatural resource for natural resources? I don't understand it. We are here called, chosen, marked, stained by the blood to operate in the supernatural work of the kingdom. Religion never operates in the supernatural. Religion is self-imposed, self-taught, custom. Religion has a lot to do with, and even in the spiritual, but religion even more, has a lot to do with, like, church, you know, etiquette. Like sitting down and staying silent and being proper. Everywhere I look in the scriptures, when they were praising God, they had a noise. Everywhere I read about, they was making some noise for the kingdom. When they needed to shatter the wall, he said, be silent, but on the seventh day, I want you to shabak. On the seventh day, if you want to be changed, if you want to be free, if you want to walk into your destiny, I want you to praise God like never before. We are engaged in warfare with a supernatural enemy that you can't see in the flesh. Let me come down your road. Baby, when the predator would lose the vision of himself and you couldn't see him, he was killing everything. But doc, when they got those certain goggles on and they operated in that night vision and they heck an X-ray, that's how you do when you're out there with the spirit. You can't see. But baby, when you get in the spirit, he'll give you some eyes that man can't give you. Be looking at things and say, I see it. The Bible calls it in Leviticus, strange fire. I see some strange fire that's not God's fire. And baby, when it's strange, God says, I have the ability and the right and the access to put it out. But when God sets you on fire, when God sets you on fire, can't no devil in hell put that fire out. I'm in my foreclosure, and I promise I'm going to sit down. Get ready, deacon. I'm coming. He says, watch this. He says in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Watch this. A peculiar people. Peculiar means unusual, strange. Baby, they going to think you strange because they ain't operating in what you operate in. When you operate in flesh, you don't understand what the spirit is saying. Operate in flesh, you kick, you fight, you bite. But when you operate in spirit, you preach, you teach, you pray, you fast. You preach, you teach, you pray, you fast. You preach, you teach. Listen, you got to operate in the spirit of God. Whoa! He says, watch this, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you, watch this, out of darkness into the marvelous light. You should praise God because everything that you are attached to is going to get some light. That means your finances should be getting some light. That means your kids should be getting some light. That means that relationship should be getting some light. That means everything that's attached to me should be getting some. God is longing for the church to operate in its original fire. You don't need lamps in the building. You are the lamp. You don't need to have all these fixtures. You should be the light. You shouldn't call in a therapist. Sometimes you do. But when you operate in the spirit, he is your therapist. He is your doctor. He is your way maker. He is your deliverer. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is. He is. He is. He is. I am. I am the righteousness of God. I am a peculiar people. I am somebody saved, sanctified, delivered, delivered. I shared this morning that deliverance is in freedom. Some of y'all didn't get it. Come on, wait here. Well, who's on? I need you to be on stage with me. Come on. Whoever's on. Listen. I wonder when you read the text why God after he had delivered the Israelites out of the hands of the oppressor, Pharaoh, I wonder why that they had to stand and ovulate for 430 years. God, why do you take them into the promised land? You hired, called, chose a deliverer by the name of Moses. Why in the world wouldn't you take the chosen people, the peculiar people, into the land of promise that you had shown them? A land flowing with milk and honey, grapes big enough to break the basket. I wonder why you did not take them into the promised land. This is the reason. God said, I can't take you into what I've shown you, because although you've been delivered from that last place and you're over here now, you're still walking around with a last place mentality. Why would I take you into destiny and I know you ain't gonna understand what your gift is? I know you ain't understand what the blessing is. I know you're gonna be irresponsible with the blessing. I know you're gonna be irresponsible with the promotion, irresponsible with the spouse, irresponsible with those kids, irresponsible in your pastorship, irresponsible in your stewardness, irresponsible. He says, I can't take you into your destiny until you lose your slavery mentality.